This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this.
How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News, This Morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Mass shooting at a parade. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Mike Gavin, who's in for Jennifer Koshenka on this Tuesday, July 5th. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
A 22-year-old man has been arrested in connection with a shooting at a July 4th parade that left six dead and two dozen wounded in a Chicago suburb.
Saying she's terrified, WNBA star Brittany Griner is asking President Biden for help getting released from a Russian prison on a drug charge.
In the wake of the Supreme Court overturning Roe v. Wade, the White House is under pressure to take an aggressive response. We'll examine the legal hurdles.
And the newest perk offered by some companies, immigration coverage.
A couple of companies around the country started offering their immigrant employees a $500 reimbursement every 2 years for immigration costs, be it renewal of their work authorization or any other sort of filing fees they may encounter in the intervening sort of sets of 2 years.
Alicia Caldwell at the Wall Street Journal on the newest benefit at work. Police in Illinois have arrested a person of interest in a shooting at a July 4th parade in an affluent Chicago suburb that left at least six people dead and more than two dozen wounded. Highland Park Police Chief Louis Jogman said 22-year-old Bobby Cremo from Highland Park was caught in a nearby town.
Attempted to initiate a traffic stop on that subject. That subject did flee. A brief pursuit went on. Ultimately, they were able to get the subject stopped at Wesley and 41 in Lake Forest. The subject was taken into custody without incident.
One official said the shooter used a high-powered rifle that was recovered from the scene and that he had been difficult to see from his position on a rooftop. Reuters found online posts written by accounts that appeared to be associated with either Mr. Cremo or an alias. One music video posted to YouTube under Awake the Rapper, for example, showed drawings of a stick figure holding a rifle in front of another figure spread on the ground. Two Philadelphia police officers were shot late yesterday as thousands of people celebrated a 4th of July concert and fireworks show, with the crowd scattering in panic when shots were fired. Both officers in Philadelphia were released from the hospital after suffering non-life-threatening injuries. Police are looking for the shooter. Police Commissioner Daniel Outlaw.
We don't know if this was a ricochet from celebratory gunfire. We don't know if this was intentional. We don't know if this was someone taking a shot intentionally at these officers from long range.
Gunfire broke out near the Philadelphia Museum of Art on the final day of a festival, with a large number of people watching a fireworks show after a concert. One officer sustained a graze wound to the head and the other a gunshot wound to the right shoulder. Elsewhere, an off-duty New York City Department of Correction officer is being hailed as a hero after he shot a man who pointed a gun toward a crowd of 4th of July revelers in the borough of Queens on Sunday. Three people in all were injured. There's been a state of emergency declared in Akron, Ohio, after protesters damaged property during protests over a fatal police shooting. The protests came after the release on Sunday of body camera videos that appear to show multiple officers firing dozens of times at 25-year-old Jalen Walker last Monday. Police say the incident started when Mr. Walker fled an attempted traffic stop. A few minutes later, police reported a suspected gunshot coming from the driver's side window of Mr. Walker's car. We get more now from This Morning's Mike Gavin.
Several minutes into the pursuit, Mr. Walker's car slowed down and he exited from the passenger seat while apparently wearing a ski mask. Several officers chased him on foot and at least one officer tried to subdue him with a taser before eight officers fired dozens of shots. Mr. Walker was unarmed when he was shot, Chief Milet said. He also said a gun with a loaded magazine was found on the driver's seat of the vehicle and a spent shell casing was found near the scene where the initial gunshot was fired, though it's not clear it was fired by a gun found in Mr. Walker's car. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. Akron Police Chief Stephen Milet said while Mr. Walker's movements are hard to distinguish in the video, A still photo appears to show him, quote, going to his waist area, while another appears to show him turning toward an officer, and a third captures a forward motion of his arm. Dell's Black Friday in July sale is here. Power productivity with a tech refresh, now with up to 45% off top-rated laptops like the XPS, along with our special deals on business desktops with Intel Core processors. Get big savings on the latest servers, storage, monitors, and more with free shipping and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Upgrade today by calling 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Tuesday. The White House is navigating legal minefields as it considers ways the federal government could move to protect abortion access following the historic Supreme Court decision overturning Roe v. Wade that reversed nearly 50 years of precedent. Alex Gangitano, White House reporter at The Hill, said the administration is under pressure to take a more aggressive response. Alex, explain.
So the White House has been under pressure since really this the Supreme Court ruling got leaked last month to actually do something on an executive level. We've heard from the White House plenty of times over the last month that this would take Congress being able to codify Roe in order to truly overturn this decision. But there's still some actions that people either want to see out of the White House or that the White House has said they're able to do or they're looking at. So, first of all, the Democratic senators have been calling for them to increase access to abortion medication, provide federal resources for people who are seeking abortion care, and that is largely having to travel across state lines to do so. And then this issue of using federal property for services. The last point there on the federal property is actually the White House has pushed back on this concept so that it actually could open the door to some legal challenges and put women who get abortions on these federal lands in a bad position. So that's something that they've kind of pushed back on and attempted to shut the door on that conversation. Where the other topics, there's still some talk about helping women pay to travel to receive abortions blocking anything that would prevent the access to medication.
Jeez. What about this idea floated by Senator Elizabeth Warren from Massachusetts, where she was encouraging the president to declare a public health emergency? What if she were to do that or the president were to take that up, what would that mean? What would happen?
Yeah, so this was an interesting idea by Warren and Minnesota Senator Tina Smith, who said that a public health emergency would unlock resources in order to meet the surge in demand for reproductive health services. So they're basically saying there's going to be a surge here. There's going to be women who are looking for access, who can't get it, looking for access now before things change or before other states take actions to restrict reproductive health. And so let's have a public health emergency to get some resources in place to take care of those women. I asked the White House about this point, and they basically said the same thing, that they're looking at an array of options and figuring out what they can do on an executive level.
Jeez. We're speaking with Alex Gangitano, White House correspondent at The Hill. Her story is called White House Faces Legal Hurdles in Weighing Abortion Response. How does the Hyde Amendment factor into all this that's being discussed?
Yeah, so the Hyde Amendment is a long time been debated in Washington. The president has actually, throughout his long career, changed his opinion on it. And basically, the Hyde Amendment prohibits the use of federal funds for abortion. The president used to support it and then on the campaign trail changed his opinion on that. But basically using, their legal experts pointed out to us that the use of federal lands for abortion services could run into issues with the Hyde Amendment because it could be interpreted as the federal government subsidizing abortion, which is not allowed. You can't use federal funds.
And what about this idea, too, that Health and Human Services could pay women who want to travel to a state considered an abortion haven?
That's another debate, is basically giving women the resources, funds to travel to a state where it is legal to be able to receive their abortions. And this also could run into the issue of the Hyde Amendment, which, of course, as we said, using federal funds to pay for abortion services.
Boy, I factor in for one last thing here, abortion pills.
There's been some talk about steps to protect access to these abortion pills, especially in the case of emergency care, that this is something that, you know, a woman's health and life could be in danger. And so they're also looking at what the legality of this is. But what's interesting about the abortion pills is, you know, if the Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, has already approved these, does it fall into the purview of the federal government can control access to this versus state government?
Thanks, Alex. Alex Gangitano, White House reporter at The Hill. 20 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Here's Mike Gavin.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Six people were killed when a gunman opened fire at a 4th of July parade in Highland Park, Illinois, and around two dozen people were taken to area hospitals with injuries. A person of interest was arrested around 6:30 p.m. local time in connection with the shooting, nearly 9 hours after it took place. Officials said the suspect's vehicle was spotted and he was stopped after a brief pursuit. Highland Park Mayor Nancy Rotering.
We all look forward to bringing this individual to justice.
Police and witnesses said it appeared the gunman was shooting at the crowd from the roof of a business near the parade route.
Number two.
Elected officials from across Illinois and the nation expressed their grief in the wake of the mass shooting at the July 4th parade in Highland Park. President Joe Biden said in a statement he and his wife Jill are shocked by the senseless gun violence that has yet again brought grief to an American community on this Independence Day. Governor J.B. Pritzker.
It is devastating that a celebration of America was ripped apart by our uniquely American plague.
Number three.
Brittany Griner has made an appeal to President Biden in a letter passed to the White House through her representatives, saying she feared she might never return home and asking that he not forget about me and the other American detainees. Most of the letter's contents to President Biden remain private, though Griner's representatives shared a few lines from the handwritten note, including that the two-time Olympic gold medalist is terrified that she may be held captive forever. Griner's trial will resume on Thursday. Americans didn't let high gas prices and airport chaos keep them at home this 4th of July. Millions of travelers packed into airports over the holiday weekend, and many were met with chaos as thousands of flights were delayed or canceled. The TSA estimates it screened more than 6 million people Friday through Sunday, a number close to pre-pandemic levels. Close to 2.5 million passengers were screened on Friday alone, making it the busiest day at U.S. airports since the start of the COVID-19 pandemic. And it was business as usual for Joey Chestnut as he gobbled his way to a 15th win at the Nathan's famous 4th of July hot dog eating contest, powering down 63 hot dogs and buns. Impressive, but short of last year's record of 76. Monday also marked the contest's return to its traditional location outside Nathan's flagship shop in Brooklyn's Coney Island neighborhood. The event was relocated in 2020 and last year because of the pandemic.
Wow. Is he slowing down, or does he just munch as many hot dogs as he thinks it will take to win? Like, you know, you're going to do 62. He's like, I got one more in me. I'll just bang out 63.
Yeah. You know, older and wiser, I think, at this point. Could just kind of pacing himself and just doing what he needs to do to win. I think that's pretty smart on his part.
He's a tactician now.
Yeah, yeah. I would say so.
I had two hot dogs, by the way. I was pretty full.
I limited myself to one. We're not in that league with him.
Thanks for being with us. Average rent in the U.S. has climbed to more than $1,700 per month. That's more than 30% of the national median monthly income when you account for taxes. Alcina Lloyd, economy reporter at Insider, says as rents outpace wage growth, more American households have become rent burdened. Alcina, what do we have?
Essentially, a lot of Americans right now are struggling to afford their rent, especially as rental prices continue to climb. As the housing market starts to cool and we see a lot of people that would be buying homes either staying renters or returning to renting.
Boy, there's a phrase in your story, something along the lines of like rental affordability slipping away. What does that mean? Yeah. What's happening?
Well, essentially with inflation as well as the cost of living for renters right now rising, basically they're losing a lot of their spending power. And as they continue to pay rent, as it rises, it's hurting them. Their affordability is falling.
Geez, but if rent affordability is slipping away, like what does that mean in other aspects of life? Like, are you going to I don't know, default on a car payment? Are you going to get kicked out because your rent is late? Like, you know, it seems like there's some disastrous things that could happen here.
Well, yes. Well, I can't speak to everybody's personal financial problems right now, but what that essentially means is it's becoming tighter and harder for people to be able to afford their rent, whether that means that people are paying rent a little bit later or they're going to have to find different avenues of paying their rent. People are having a really hard time right now affording housing right now.
What's the for example, like a national median income versus the amount or the percentage of rent that goes against that?
So advisors ask you to spend only 30% on your income on rent. Typically, that's what you would need to do. So for people making the national median income of $67,000, essentially, they're paying more than 30% of their rent if their rent is the median price of $1,722 right now.
Wow. We're speaking with Alcina Lloyd, economy reporter at Insider. She's got a story called One Chart Shows How the Number of Americans Who Can't Afford Rent Has Spiked This Year. Do we have any idea, like, what percentage of people are kind of in this pickle?
Well, I can't give you a percent, but based on the reporting, I got some data from Moody Analytics that says over the last year, the number of metros that are rent burdened right now has doubled. So they were saying that from 2019, the number has climbed from 8 to 23, and a lot of this is happening in the Sun Belt region. Okay. So that includes states like Texas, Florida, those sorts of states.
So employers are still hiring, right? Job market seems decent. Pay is up, but just inflation is just starting to wreak havoc.
Yes, inflation is definitely taking a toll on wallets of Americans, whatever market they're in right now.
What else stood out as you were pulling all this together?
What stood out to me is affordability for rents is likely to become a little more positive in the few months to come. But because we're likely to have a recession, economists are predicting that we are going to be recession. Whether or not that happens is still yet to be seen. But if that does happen, we'll see a pause in rent prices for little. But in 2023, they're expected to climb again. So it's still the conversation of, can people afford to pay their rent next year?
Thanks, Alcina Lloyd, economy reporter at Insider. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Want to eat healthier, but every supplement you've ever tried seems like the better it is for you, the worse it tastes? Then you have to try AG1 from Athletic Greens. I started taking AG1 because I wanted more energy and better gut health. What I didn't expect, the taste is better than any supplement I've ever had. I drink it, like it says, before anything else when I wake up. I guzzle those 8 to 10 ounces before my coffee and start my day knowing I've already gotten the recommended daily intake of all the good fruits and veggies. There's definitely a mental boost knowing you've started the day off on the right foot. I tackle the day now with more confidence and energy. AG1, by the way, is not only lifestyle friendly, it's cheaper than getting all the different supplements yourself. Try AG1. I love this product. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/Gordon. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/Gordon to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. athleticgreens.com/Gordon.
This is America's First News, preparing you for the day ahead with headlines and in-depth analysis. This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome to Tuesday, July 5. Gordon Deal with Mike Gavin, who's filling in for Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines: 6 people dead in a parade shooting in Highland Park, Illinois. State of emergency in Akron, Ohio, following a fatal police shooting. A judge in West Virginia ruled in favor of 3 drug distributors in an opioid lawsuit. A 10-year-old rape victim denied an abortion in Ohio is now heading to Indiana for the procedure. We've reached the quarterfinals at Wimbledon. Hope folks in England, by the way, had a good day of work yesterday. Americans enjoyed the day off. And the high school graduates who fled their ceremony to fight a fire. That story in about 20 minutes. This portion of the program is brought to you by Dell. Dell's Black Friday and July sale is here with savings on top-rated business computers with Intel Core processors. Upgrade today by calling 877-ASK-DELL. Corporations have long helped sponsor seasonal and high-skilled workers, but now they are offering immigration coverage as a benefit to attract and retain low-skilled workers. It's a story by Alicia Caldwell, immigration reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Alicia, what's up here?
A couple of companies around the country, notably Noodles & Company, a fast casual pasta chain, has started offering their immigrant employees a $500 reimbursement every 2 years for immigration costs, be it renewal of their work authorization or any other sort of filing fees they may encounter in the intervening sort of sets of 2 years. It's only available to people who are already in the country, already able to work, and who have been at Noodles & Company for a year.
Goodness, is this the latest sign that companies are just desperate to keep employees?
It may well be. Amazon is doing something similar. They're targeting the sort of refugee and humanitarian aid-seeking migrants. So think Ukrainian refugees who are coming into the United States, but they're not coming in under the traditional refugee program. So they will have to apply for a work permit once they get here after being sponsored by a U.S. resident or citizen.
We're speaking with Alicia Caldwell, immigration reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Her story is called Immigration Coverage is Newest Benefit from Some Companies. So I think you referenced them before, but this Brian Cordova Heredia from Noodles & Company. What's his story?
So he's originally from Mexico, moved to the United States when he was a kid, has a green card, so he's a legal permanent resident. And now he wants to apply for citizenship, but it was something that he had put on the back burner effectively because it's expensive. Again, it's over $700 and you need lawyer's fees, right? So, or access to some legal aid. So this program will allow him to have that extra money. So when he does go to apply, they'll help reimburse at least $500 of that. So for right now, his new green card fee that he had already paid when this benefit came up, he says that's going to help him, you know, cover additional bills that he's got, his car payment, his car insurance, just generally spending time and money with his family, right? Take his family out to dinner, things he might not have been able to do without that extra reimbursement back. And he did need his green card, right? It's not something you can skip. If you don't renew your green card, then you're out of status. So despite the cost, you have to do it.
Wow. How popular is this? Any way to figure that out, this cost reimbursement?
Well, Tyson has been working for the last couple of years on adding some immigration benefits, mostly through legal aid work or legal consultation. They would bring folks into their plants. They started with one, then they expanded to about seven. They're now at 40. And they've helped, I believe, in the last several months, as they've expanded to about 40 of their plants, they've worked with about 1,000 employees who, you know, range from work authorization renewals to green card applicants to, again, those applying for citizenship. In fact, I spoke to one young woman who's been working at Tyson for several years, and she's applying for citizenship. As soon as this program came up, this legal aid and reimbursement at Tyson, she raised her hand and she said, "I'd like to be the first one. Let me in there." And she's now waiting. Her paperwork is with USCIS. It's the government agency that processes citizenship and other applications. And so now she's just sort of waiting by the mailbox, as she described, for an appointment for her interview and such. She said effectively that wouldn't have been possible in the immediate run without her employer offering both the time while she's at work, she didn't have to take time off, and just the guidance. She said she had no idea where to start. As I said, it's very complicated to navigate this system. Even people who have been in the system for many years in terms of working on the legal side and so on, every case is different and every application can bring its own sort of complications.
Thanks, Alicia. Alicia Caldwell, immigration reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Welcome into Tuesday. Beach reads are all the rage this summer. June was the second biggest month for adult fiction sales for the past decade, and book sales overall soared during the pandemic. Now, as vacations begin in earnest, publishers are trying to hang on to those numbers. Book industry executives say novels with beachy covers are so popular that publishers put bare feet and glistening seas on practically any title. Here's this morning's Jennifer Koschenka.
What is a beach read, and does it have anything to do with the beach? The story from Ellen Gammerman at the Wall Street Journal. Ellen, what's the traditional definition of a beach read?
A beach read is any engrossing page turner that's marketed towards summertime sales, usually released in the spring or early summer, and doesn't necessarily have to be based at the beach, but it's just supposed to be a really easy to read, quick read, escapist book.
Are they targeted at women specifically?
They are. You know, a lot of the writers are women, and a lot of the images on the covers are women, typically seen as a genre where women authors are prominent, although some women authors think it's a term used to belittle what they do, because you say beach read, and it just sounds frivolous.
How do publishers market beach reads?
Well, everything looks better, you know, on a beach and with a blue sky and an umbrella. And so even some of the more serious books that don't have all that much to do with the beach sometimes get one of those beachy covers. We were counting up how many times we saw bare feet and, you know, sun hats and things like that. And it's just a very, when you're, and whether you're buying it online or you're in a bookstore, it's just a very enticing kind of cover. And often the titles will be, will have some words like sunshine or surf or sand or ocean in them. So it's just all meant to appeal to that side of you that just wants to be on vacation.
We're speaking with Ellen Gammerman of the Wall Street Journal. Ellen, take us through some of the most popular authors of this genre, and are they purposefully writing this kind of book and marketing it this way?
Yeah, well, one of the first and most successful is Ellen Hildebrand, and every year she has a beach read that comes out. Almost always has one of those sky blue covers, and she's always got them on Nantucket. That's kind of known as her territory. In fact, other writers pick different beaches and sort of vacation regions because they don't want to, they wouldn't dare try to do Nantucket, which Ellen Hildebrand has done so well for so many years. So she's a big one. Jennifer Weiner is, she's written a three-book Cape Cod series, and she's interesting because she has up until now sworn off beach reads and said that she just doesn't want to be associated with that because she thinks the term is sexist. But finally, she just said, if you can't beat them, join them, because she saw how successful these books were and she just wanted to, you know, to dive in. So she wrote three books, all settled on Cape Cod.
Do people actually read more in the summer and take books on vacation? Is there a surge of reading?
Yeah, surprisingly to me, June is the second highest month for book sales after Christmas time. So that does speak to all of the quick vacation buying that people are doing. Sometimes people who don't read a lot will buy that one book for their vacation, and publishers are trying to make that one book be, you know, a beach read or a book that will get them hooked and coming back. A lot of these beach read authors have long lists of previous novels in a similar vein. And so if you get into one, you could be reading 30 books before you know it.
That's this morning's Jennifer Koshenko with Wall Street Journal reporter Ellen Gammerman. Dell's Black Friday in July sale is here. Power productivity with a tech refresh, now with up to 45% off top-rated laptops like the XPS, along with our special deals on business desktops with Intel Core processors. Get big savings on the latest servers, storage, monitors, and more with free shipping and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Upgrade today by calling 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Thanks for spending time with us. Be sure to follow us on social media, including on our newly updated Instagram page. You can find us at This Morning with Gordon Deal. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Mike Gavin.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
A man arrested in connection with a deadly attack on a Chicago-area July 4th celebration that killed six people appears to be an aspiring rapper who posted violent videos depicting disturbing acts of violence. Authorities spent frantic hours Monday searching for 22-year-old Robert E. Cremo III and arrested him shortly before 7 p.m. local time following a short pursuit about 6 miles away from the shooting. Dr. Brigham Temple is from Highland Park Hospital.
The age range ranged from about 8 years old was our youngest patient, up to 85 years old.
Authorities say the shooter fired from a rooftop into the crowd, and they say they recovered a rifle from the scene.
Number two.
Two Philadelphia police officers were shot near the Benjamin Franklin Parkway late on Monday as thousands of people celebrated a 4th of July concert and fireworks show, with the crowd scattering in panic when shots were fired. Philadelphia Police Commissioner Danielle Outlaw was relieved it wasn't worse.
We're all just extremely grateful that this wasn't worse than what it was.
Both officers in Philadelphia were released from hospital after suffering non-life-threatening injuries, and police were searching for the shooter.
Number three.
Officials set a 9 p.m. curfew for downtown Akron, Ohio Monday and canceled a fireworks show in the wake of protests over the police killing of black motorist Jaylen Walker. Mayor Dan Horrigan said the action was necessary due to the threat of violence and property damage in the Northeast Ohio City's downtown district. Officials said eight police officers now on administrative leave shot Walker after he jumped out of a moving car. 4th of July travelers faced high gas prices, though prices have retreated from record highs in some states. President Biden tweeted directly at oil companies over the weekend, challenging them to bring down prices they are charging at the pump to better reflect the price of oil. The U.S. Oil and Gas Association mocked the tweet and the White House intern that they suspect sent it, Florida Congresswoman Kat Kamek on Fox News.
We've got to get back to the basics. We know that our free market principles and policies work. The government just needs to get out of the way.
And here's an impressive feat, especially for someone who isn't from here. A 16-year-old Australian girl has set a Guinness record by naming 40 U.S. presidents in 1 minute just by looking at their picture. This is Lara Noonan's third Guinness record, already setting marks for most Marvel characters identified in 1 minute and most cartoon characters in 1 minute. Lara says her latest attempt was in some ways more complicated than her previous two. One, she's Australian, so she's not familiar with all the presidents. Two, she says, presidents tend to have longer names than Marvel characters and cartoon stars.
Oh.
I mean, that
okay.
makes some
I
sense, I suppose.
It does make some sense. Could she name 40 Australian prime ministers in a minute?
Yeah. Doesn't.
Right?
I don't know. I'm not going to bet against her.
I wouldn't either.
How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.
Thanks for being with us. It was a mere minutes after Andrew Patterson's high school graduation ceremony had concluded, but rather than posing for pictures in his cap and gown, the 18-year-old and five of his classmates suddenly found themselves sprinting to the local fire station. The Washington Post says as active volunteer members of the Port Jefferson Fire Department on New York's Long Island, the six students received an urgent notification about a nearby fire. They were in their graduation apparel, ready to celebrate. Instead, they raced to the call. In a matter of minutes, they were on a fire truck headed to a nearby home that had a garage fire. Within an hour, the flames were extinguished and no one was injured. The students all heading to college soon, and a few were staying local and promised to remain active members of the fire department. That'll do it for this hour. For Mike Gavin, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.